Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I want to talk this morning about a chapter 4 of the book of John. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that you sent through the door today. God, I pray that you speak through this spirit that you have in this place to each and every heart, that every person here can walk out of this house knowing they've been in your house, knowing they've been with your people, knowing that you are the one that inspire. And we'll give you the thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever someone comes to Christ and they say, I want to start reading the Bible, where should I start? And a lot of people think they should start in Genesis chapter 1 and read through. Well, when you get to Leviticus, Numbers, you'll probably stop, okay? Because you get into the genealogies and you get into the Numbers and you get into the Levitical law and why this and that and so forth. It's all about Jesus Christ. So if you don't understand who Jesus Christ was, you won't understand the Old Testament either. So I tell people to start reading the book of John, because the book of John is all about Jesus being the Son of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. And then chapter after chapter after chapter, it's about Jesus, who he is talking about in the first chapter. The second chapter, Jesus, it talks about him cleansing the temple. And he said, if you tear down the temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. The disciples looked at each other and said, it took 46 years to build that temple. What's he talking about? Then the scripture tells us right there in the book of John, he's talking about his body, because he is the Son of God. He is the true temple. And he'll rise again. And he did. John chapter 3 talked about Nicodemus, rich young ruler, came to Jesus and was questioning him because he lived by the law. He was a very disciplined man. He lived a good life. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And that brings us to chapter 4. But all through the book of John, where he feeds the 5,000 in chapter 6, and he heals a man at the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5. It's all about him, and it's all about him being the Messiah, the very Son of God. Here we find that Jesus must go through Samaria in chapter 4. Now the Samaritans and the Jews had nothing to do with one another. And I want you to just look at a map of Israel. Let's just take it up here at the top of the cross down to the drum set. And at the top was Galilee. That was around the Sea of Galilee. And that was about a third of Israel. And that's where Nazareth was. That's where Jesus grew up. It's beautiful if you've ever been there and set out and looked at the Sea of Galilee. It's one of the most beautiful places you could ever be. Then is Samaria, the very center of Israel. That's where Jacob's well is. That's where Samaria, the city, is. And then below that is Judea. That's where Jerusalem's at. That's where Bethlehem's at. And the other. And right along this side of Israel is the Jordan River. It runs from the Sea of Galilee down into the Dead Sea. And over here is the Mediterranean Sea. So you have Israel's divided into three sections. In the center section, the Jews don't have anything to do with them. And that goes back 750 years before, 725 years, I believe, before. And they kind of mixed the race. It was okay for, they approved for the husbands that were Jewish to marry non-Jewish women or Gentiles. So there was this hatred. And you've read about, in this day and age, the hatred that in Northern Ireland of the Catholics and the Protestants. And that goes back hundreds of years, but there's a hatred there. And there was a hatred for the Samaritans. So the Jews, when they went from Judea to Galilee, would go down the Jericho Road, cross the river, go up, cross the river again, and go into Galilee. They didn't want to go through Samaria. They took the long way around. Have you ever seen people say, I don't like them, and they take the long way around? You ever see someone, well, I don't like them. Well, I'm not going to walk on the same side of the street. I'm not going to let on like I see them here. That goes on today. It was bad in Jesus' time. It's bad in our time. And here's what Jesus said. I am tired of these prejudices that you have with one another. I am tired of these laws that you have and people that you hate and people that you don't like. He said, I'm going through Samaria. I'm going to go right up the middle. I'm going to stop at Jacob's well. It's going to be about noon when I get there. Because I'm not afraid to face anything. Why? Because he was truth and life. You know, when you have the truth and you have the life, you're not afraid. You don't walk on the other side of the street. You don't nod and say hello. You ignore people when you're guilty. You ignore people when you don't want them to know something. That's why when you become a Christian and your sins are cast into the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, we can stand up with our head up knowing that Jesus forgave us and we'll walk on. Somebody said, oh, you're the guy that really messed up. I'm him. Been saved by grace. It's all under the blood. Well, I don't know. You need to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ can do. So here Jesus had a need to go through Samaria. And you know what he did when he got to the well? It had to be tired. It had to be hot. He needed a drink physically. But that's not why he went. He went there because he had an appointment with a lady that didn't know anything about the appointment. The first thing he did is he sent his disciples away. You ever wonder why he sent his disciples away? And you say, well, he is hungry. Well, he didn't eat when they got back. Well, he is thirsty. He is sitting on a well. Why did he send them away? Because he wanted to talk to the Samaritan woman one-on-one. And out of all the people that Jesus talked to that's recorded in the scripture, he talked to this lady longer than anyone else. And he said to her, will you give me a drink? He was the first one that spoke. And if you want to have friends, you make yourself friendly. Sometimes you have to be the first one that speaks. Amy, I'm so glad you're here today. I mean, I saw you with your husband had just passed, and here you are in church. Because church is where we belong when we have a loss and we have a hurt. This is where you come. All of you know her husband. You say, preacher, I know him, but I just can't picture him. He wore that mask. Let's sit right here. But the death wasn't from that. The death was just sudden. They had went out. They had just bought a new couch. The couch was delivered. He laid down on the couch and passed away. We don't know when that hour is going to come. We don't know when Jesus is going to show up, but sometimes he just wants to talk to us one-on-one. Sometimes we got to send people away that are going to be critical. I believe his disciples have been critical. Hey, a Jewish man don't talk to a woman. That don't happen. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. What are you doing? He didn't want the criticism. He didn't want the backbiting. He just sent them away. because he had an appointment with a lady that didn't know she had an appointment. And he said, give me something to drink. She said, Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. Why are you wanting to talk with me? I remember I'd just gotten out of the Navy and I worked at Zeller Corporation. They had about 400 employees. It wasn't a real big factory. But I came back and I was running the overhead crane, going to Bible college. And we had a cafeteria there. And in that cafeteria, we went up to eat in certain, you know, little groups and sects. You know what that's like at work. This one little certain group, they sat together, and then there's this group that's better than that other group, and this group that talks about the other group, and this group likes the boss. They're really trying to butter him up, and this group hates the boss, and they're really trying to put him down, and they talk. And you go in there, and you sit, and you talk about everybody. That's not the way Christians live. We have small groups to get close to the Lord, not small groups to separate. That's how the world does it. But there's this one man that sat alone every day. He sat over by at his own little table. And he had a keychain that looked like a dog leash that hung down off his pocket. And he came over when I got out of the Navy and sat down with me. He owned the factory. It was Mr. Rob Zeller. He ran the place. And we talked. And it was only a few months later, after we had had that discussion, that I went to his house and knocked on his door. And I had another man with me. And we went in, I said, Mr. Zeller, I was 23 years old. I said, I want to talk to you about something that's really important to me. Well, come on in and have a seat. And I said, I want to talk to you about the Lord. You go to church? And he said, well, I used to go. You know, it's difficult sometimes for people that our leaders in a community go to church because everybody always wants something. I have a friend that owns several Culligan dealerships in Florida, and he told me, he said, I can't go to church. Everybody wants a job. Everybody wants money. He said, including the preacher. I went to someone's house a few weeks ago, and I said, why did you think I was coming? They said, well, I thought you wanted money. And I said, I've never done that in 35 years. I'll never come to your house and ask you for money. We take up an offering. I said, I did ask Jack Smith and Walt, your brother, for $250 a piece to buy those drums because the church didn't have any money and we had a lawyer who wanted to play them. So we bought a set of drums. That was 21 years ago when we were building this. But Jesus had a need to be alone with this lady. That night, when I was alone, just the three of us, Rob accepted the Lord. He's in heaven now, not because he owned a factory. He's in heaven now because he accepted the Lord as a Savior. When Jesus started his ministry, first thing he said, who he was. In the beginning, in Genesis, God created. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was with the beginning, with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Before Genesis was Jesus. Before Genesis was the Holy Spirit. Before Genesis was the book that came alive with his life and told us so we would know who he was and what to expect. And he said to this lady, he asked her about her husband, and she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus' response really amazed me. He said, I know you don't have a husband. You've had five, and the man you're living with isn't your husband. She perceived that he is a prophet because he knew the truth about her. She knew the truth about her, But Jesus knew the truth about her. Jesus knew the truth about Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Jesus came to the Samaritan. Nicodemus was a rich man. The Samaritan lady was a poor lady. Nicodemus had a name. The Samaritan lady is only known as the Lady of Samaria. Nicodemus had a reputation, political position. She had nothing and nobody. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He said to the lady at the well, he said, "If you ask of me, I will give you living water." She said, "You don't have any," she is so practical, "you don't have anything to draw with." Then she started to realize she was speaking to the Messiah. And that's what this living water is all about. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I remember Wally Beebe said one time, he said, "It's like ticking over a bucket of honey in your heart, and it just starts oozing out every pore you have." And when you get saved and you trust Christ as your Savior, something comes into you. And that old life and those old temptations and the things that you had in the world just start going away. The more you pray and the more you read your Bible, the more you're around Christian people, they just start going away. And you start embracing them because it's so sweet and it's so good. Jesus said to the lady at the well, "If you ask, I'll give you living water." And she did. And he did. And the Bible says she left her water pot. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing when you come to Christ, the things that you forget? I told my wife the other day, I've had 4 years of forgetting. I told Pastor Eric when we brought him here, I said, "I have forgotten more than a lot of preachers know, and I'm forgetting more every day. I just keep forgetting." But she forgot her water pot. That's all she had. That's all she came to the well with, was with her water pot. But her new life was so important that the things that she had meant nothing to her. She just left it there. Or maybe she thought Jesus needed it. Some people say, "Preacher, why don't you preach on tithing?" Because I don't have to. Because when Christ comes into you, not only do you leave what's there, but you give to Christ what you feel he needs. She felt Jesus needed a drink of water so she could use her water pot. Perhaps she left it there because of his need. And that's how we give in the offering. We see a need, and we give. Why don't I preach on 10%? Because some people give 20. I don't want them to stop. Pastor Kay said, some give 30. That's faith. She went into town, and she became an evangelist. I'm not sure what Nicodemus did, but I know what this lady did. Nicodemus thought, "I've got a whole bunch of self-righteous people that I know, and I will work on them." This lady went in and said, "I know a lot of lost people, and I'm going to bring them to church." And that's what we're supposed to be doing all of our lives, that we're a Christian. Bring people to church. Bring people in. Bring people to see Christ. And Jesus said to the disciples, "The fields are white for harvest." Look around you in Toledo. The fields are white for harvest. There are people that are lost. There are people that are dying without Christ. There are people that do not understand the blessing that God can give you, the hope that Christ can give you, the blessing that a church can give you, because they miss it because they want to hang out with a barroom crowd. Just compare the crowds. I've said this before. Go to a bar sometime. Find the oldest guy in the bar. And say, "Tell me what you think hell is like." You're going to get an answer from one of them at that bar. I was in the Navy. I know a little bit about that stuff, even though I didn't drink in the Navy. They'll say, "This is hell right here, man." That's what they'll tell you. Right here, this is hell. Don't that sound like someone that's just enjoying life? Doesn't that sound like somebody that's had the abundance and the peace that passes all understanding? Don't that sound like someone that is just really living it? Then you come to church and you find some older lady here. She's been a Christian for years. I told Pastor Eric, I said, one of the hardest things for me to do as a pastor is to look out the congregation and know that I am preaching to people, many of them, that know how to live a victorious Christian life better than I do. Your faith is stronger. Your life is stronger. And that causes me to grow. That helps me to grow. But here we are. She said, come see a man that told me all things. She didn't say, come see the Messiah. She didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth is here. She said, something happened to me when I talked to him, and I want you to come see this guy that knows all about me, so he knows all about you too. Jesus Christ knows all about us. He knows your background. He knows your history. He knows your education. He knows how much you have in your bank account. He has it all. And eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your life here might be on its last 2 days, its last 2 years, but we shall all die, and we shall all give an account. Jesus said, let's linger here a while. This Jew, who is a leader, who is seen as a prophet, seen as a teacher, and seen by some as the Son of God, said we need to stay in Samaria. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been here going on 35 years. Some of you came to the Lord when 35 years ago. Many of you have came to the Lord in the last 20 years, 10 years, 15 years. We've matured in the Lord. We've matured to the point that sometimes we're uncomfortable when the woman at the well comes in. We're more comfortable with Nicodemus coming in. We're more comfortable with the rich young ruler who's very self-centered, thinking that he's already made it coming in. Jesus didn't say in John chapter 3, the fields are white for harvest. Jesus said in John chapter 4, the fields are white for harvest. Are we going to be okay as the Samaritans come in? I believe that's why God sent Pastor Eric here. If you've been around him much, he talks a little like him. That's Reno talk. I'm sure that Jesus sent the disciples away because this lady talking to Jesus would have made them uncomfortable. So if you don't get anything out of the sermon, get this point. This church is going to grow. God has already put his stamp on it 35 years ago. Don't be bolting out and leaving and going somewhere else where there's a bunch of Pharisees. We did build this building in order to get people to come from other churches, even though we have welcomed them because their leadership and their Christianity has helped us a lot. We built this church out here in order to win people to Jesus Christ. I didn't quit the job that I had in order to come here and pastor a church that just wanted to have people switch seats. I came here 35 years ago because I wanted to see people get saved, and many of you are those people. We need to give more. We need to attend more. We need to work harder. Because what God is going to do here is just going to really shock many of us. How do I know? I read the book. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's Jesus Christ. This young man here is going to make you uncomfortable from time to time. He makes me uncomfortable from time to time. He's going to challenge you in some of the things that you have. I mean, we took the pulpit out. I bought that pulpit. Well, I had a lady. She bought the pulpit. Her husband had built the old one. I went to her and said, we don't want to offend you by taking that pulpit out, but I'm confined. You have to stand up in it. She said, how much is a new one? I said, $800. She said, I'll buy it. That was 34 years ago. I kind of like it not having a pulpit up here, especially when you don't have to use it for anything. Don't let that bother you. Don't let it bother you that somebody has a cup of coffee in here. Man, we built this building. We put the new carpet in, the new pews, and we didn't want anybody spilling any coffee. When my daughter moved to California 9 years ago, and thank God the Lord they're back now, I said, find a messy church. She said, what do you mean? I said, you can tell there's life in a house when you go in and the floors are messed up. Clothes aren't quite hung up everywhere. Because there's family there, there's life there, there's kids there. I said, find a church that's messy. Find a church that don't have money. Why? Because they're growing, they're spending what they have coming in order to make sure that people get saved. When Pastor Eric or I or Jackie, the church, puts something on Facebook, share it all over the place. That's the way we advertise today. It isn't in the blade, and it isn't making sure you don't get down in the bottom center. You get up on the right-hand corner of that newspaper page. I knew all about that. I don't know a whole lot about Facebook and Twitter and all these things, but I know that's the way we advertise today. So those of you who know about that, do that. Go tell the world. Jesus said, she went into town and she brought all these people back with her because she knew a man, Nicodemus, up and out. He needs saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, who's my neighbor? Jesus, all through the book of John, Jesus in the center of this messed up lady's life turned it around. You want to see that? Then we got to come together and decide we're going to see it. I went to Reno a year ago today. I was out there. And I wrote a thing on Facebook that I said, I've met this man, I met his family. I've seen his church. He knows how to win people to Christ. And I'm sorry to say there's a lot of preachers don't know how to do that anymore. And I'm not talking about a prayer to Christ. I'm talking about a life-changing experience with Christ. Nicodemus need to be saved. If you know any rich young rulers, bring them in. They need saved. We're not intimidated. But we're also not intimidated for the down and outers that have been around and everyone else in the world has given up on them, even themselves, to see that God can change them. Because we have some sitting here today. Paul said, when it comes to sinners, I'm chief. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I'm thank you, Lord, that is made flesh and it dwells among us. I thank you just as Paul had seen you after you died, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, that each one of us who are born again have seen you too. We've seen your work. We felt your hand. We know that you are in us and can work through us. Lord, we thank you for your holiness. And we know that you called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, because the first sign of having you in us is holiness. So God, I pray for this church today. I pray for solid unity. I pray, Lord, if there are people that aren't here, that we phone them, we write them, we let them know great things are happening at Heritage. Lord, we trust you, even when we don't trust ourselves. Lord, we trust your word. I pray you bless it today. And Lord, I pray that we have a hunger for souls like we have never had before here at Heritage, because we are living in the right time, at the right place, during the right hour. We know that just walking through the community, there could be a germ that we pick up that could kill us. Lord, we are living in that danger zone. So Lord, help us to give the word of peace that takes away that danger and that fear, and that's Jesus Christ. For that, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Can you be seated just for a moment?
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.